It's a Daily Talk Show, episode 395.
What's going on, guys? How are we?
Oh, I'm very well for a Tuesday. Big news with Mr. 97.
What's the big news?
The blender's back working.
I clap that. You know that that's a win for a big tight ass.
It's a golf.
So, I mean, fuck, that's how you started your day?
Yep.
My day started, my son told me that he doesn't like his daddy.
Really? What, were I'm you pissed. Being a dickhead to him, or what was going on?
I just went in to pick him up and he just started wriggling. No, I don't like daddy. It's like, mate, all right, you want your mummy? Yeah, I want mummy. And so I was like, fine.
Did you tell him words have power?
I said, oh, fucking smash. No. He doesn't really know. He's sleepy and he's hungry. We didn't give him milk last night. Trying to cut him back. I think he's getting a bit fat.
I mean, is this dairy, like a normal, like cow's milk?
We give them cow's milk, but most kids are on cow's milk. Mm. They're on breast milk and then they try and you get them the formula and then it becomes too expensive. So you get them, actually can be, they just start drinking less. And so we got him onto so much sugar in formula. Like I looked on this. I mean, milk is a form of sugar, fructose, lactose, saccharose, they're all, you know, sugars. But he drinks quite a bit of milk and he loves it. Loves it going to bed. I think it becomes a bit of a like, what's your little dummy when you go to sleep? Your dummy is the headphones in with the
audio book.
When you are the dummy.
No, or definitely audio book, but now at the moment for me, peanut butter toast.
Oh, yeah.
I had to Uber Eats today just as a way of breaking that bread cycle.
Breaking the bread, yes.
Yeah. No, well, because I had, a lot of, probably for the past 2 weeks, I reckon.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we've got bread. I'll just like, it's lunchtime. I'm hungry.
I mean, speaking of broken bread, Mr. 97, one of the most infuriating arguments we've ever had, and we don't have many. Like, I think about the people. I'll just tell you, this is a compliment before I get stuck into you.
Okay.
There's a thing in the meditation app with Sam Harris, and you're meant to think about somebody who you have an uncomplicated relationship with that you really like. I think about you. And I think, nice. and it's like, it's.
What about us?
Nah. Mr. 97 for some reason. Mm. And you have to sort of recite. Things like
because it's a fucking pushover. That's why he just does whatever he says. Whatever you say,
you recite these really nice things around wishing that you have no pain or a bunch of these things. I don't know if you've got that far in the app, Sam Harris app, but it's really light, nice. It's like these passages or sayings to try and create a feeling inside. And then you're transmitting that feeling over to you. It's like, it's really nice.
You already like him. Do you need to do it?
It's almost like prayer. No, Sam's asking me. It's like, who's someone in life that you have an uncomplicated relationship? My son, my wife.
Well, he doesn't even like you anymore.
I know. That's why I say Mr. 97. But the infuriating conversation was when you went to your mate's Greek church and – and you go up and you get the bread and you do, you know, I can't remember what it's called.
I don't know what it's called.
The Son, you know, the Father of the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. You're sort of using your hand to go, my mum would be furious at me right now. But you touch your head, you touch sort of towards your sternum, you go up to your left shoulder and you go across to your right and then you come in and pray with your hands together. You and I had a discussion and you're like, mate, nah, you go from your head down to your chest and then you go across to your right shoulder and then you go across to your left. And I said, no, mate. And he said, I'm telling you, it is. Father of Son. And I'm like, no, it's the other way. I used to go to fucking church. I was a little church boy.
I do more of like just a circle because I don't know.
Well, just throw your hands out, like, do a fucking dandruff dab in there.
Yeah.
But I had to call my mum. I had to call mum and say, mum.
How often does she go to church every week or not?
No, not anymore. But she prays a lot. She prays. And she prays for you.
Really?
I'm sure she's prayed for you.
Oh, that's nice.
She prays for a lot of people. She's lovely.
And I have an uncomplicated relationship. Do you think she would?
I mean, you could think of her if you got through the Sam Harris app, as far as I
So how far along are you on the Sam
You're going to get past the 50 days and then it goes into the other
how
days.
How unbroken are you on the app?
I haven't had a – since Matt Diavela's month where he started,
I really want to do it because
I haven't missed
it. I was saying how much you've changed, I reckon. It's the meditation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are you going to a psychologist or anything? No. Really?
I should.
No, but that's the thing. I think it's in all seriousness, you don't get angry at anything.
I mean, I was angry at Mr. 97 for fucking up the hand movements. And mum just backed me up on that one.
Is it a different thing for Greek?
You're the one with the power of Google in your hands right there. I don't think there's any difference. It's Catholicism. Mm. I don't think it's changing, going up. Oh, we're Greek. We're going right. It's all about head down to sternum, across the heart, and then across to the shoulder, and then in the middle.
There are people that have who was it? I saw they've got their heart is on the other side.
Oh, jeez. That's full on.
What, their heart's on the right
side?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really?
I have heard of this, and I think they can – it's healthy.
Actually, it was a comedian, because they do a whole bit where they were they were showing someone, and then they put their head, and then people walked in.
One of my favorite quotes, not that I just think it's clever. Mm-hmm. Your heart's on the left because it's not always right.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, following your heart.
You have softened, I think, a lot. Plus, I think that we did an episode probably a year ago where I asked if you're a feminist.
Oh, yeah.
And you got so angry about the whole thing.
Yeah.
and even yesterday you called me a girl, and then you picked yourself up later and said, oh, I don't know about that.
Well, I said, I never said don't be a girl. I said, you're big girl. Mm-hmm. And I thought about it after, and I was like, words have meaning, obviously. And I was thinking about
that's why we do word call, of the day.
And I was thinking about what did I actually mean? Because I think we respond to things in the moment where we get the context of why we're saying it. So you could say you're a big girl, which could have the connotations that it's a negative thing to be a girl, which I don't think. I think it's a fucking if you're a girl, you're a girl. It's great.
But I was being a gronk.
No, I thought you were, and what I meant by the girl thing, and this is the thing. I should choose a different word. Mm-hmm. I should choose a different phrase, right? Because I didn't feel good about it after you said it. But what I meant was the gossip nature of your behavior in that moment.
But then that's the whole – but that is still
– Yeah, I know.
The
that's
idea
the thing.
That what do we call – it's the equivalent of
you could say men are more aggressive.
Because we gossip.
And, yeah, but I was saying men are more aggressive, and you could – so the opposite would be saying, oh, you got aggressive like a man, or you gossip like a girl. Mm-hmm. I mean, Gossip Girl didn't do it any good.
No.
But then it turned out that was a fucking bloke. Sorry if I've just spoiled it for you.
Yeah.
Gossip Girl was a guy.
Really? No, you did ruin that whole thing.
No, but I mean, this is the thing, right? Words do have power. It was a gronk move, but you were trying to sort of plant a little fucking gossip seed on Mr. 97's private life.
You were defending Mr. 97, but in the as a result, you then threw under the bus a whole gender.
Is it not true that there's if you look at how young teenage girls, how they kind of do a lot of damage, and it's by the gossip chain. It's the talking and stuff. That's what I was meaning.
But then what happens when, if a woman is in a role within a business and they're having a conversation about someone, we might be more likely to say, oh, they're gossiping, whereas we might not say the same thing. So all of a sudden it becomes this double standard.
Yeah. What I find hard, I mean, we have to choose our words. And I think we've done so many episodes that you could tell if we were fuckwits or not by now. We would have come undone.
Yeah.
And so
the people who think we're fuckwits are probably not listening.
They're probably not listening. Or they choose little bits.
Do you reckon there's people
choose little
who
bits
think
and then
that
they go,
we're fuckwits? Fuck it. Where it's like, I can only handle them in snippets.
No, I mean they've jumped into different podcasts and heard us at a moment where they've just built out something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing about this podcast. If you finish yesterday and you're grumpy at me for saying that, which I'm probably sure you didn't even fucking register it. I registered it. That's why I told you about it, and I didn't feel good. So I think that's the effect it needs to have on the person who says it, because if other people just get angry at shit that people are saying but they don't feel it inside, there's the problem, right?
Well, I guess part of it too is that our default is to defend our position.
Mm.
And so in some regards, like you were you were trying to provide context.
Yeah, well,
position, which there's probably something to be said, which is being
I think it has to be the case. I think you need to understand somebody's context to truly understand. You can't just pull out the fucking the whip and hit them without listening, because I don't think it's right to then defend something. But I think context is important.
But maybe there's something in saying, hey, this is why I don't feel good about it, and then saying, this is what I was thinking.
Which is what didn't I?
No, I don't think maybe you did the job of saying why it didn't make you feel right. So you were like, people might feel this way.
But this is the whole thing I'm talking about, it, right? Didn't make me feel right based on the things you've said. The thing that it can lump a bunch of people into one category.
Yeah.
And then I think the hard thing in a progressive society is to look at – it's to not even acknowledge some things, right? And I'm not even talking about the thing that I just said.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing certain clusters like men as aggressive or women as – like mm-hmm. there are some things that – are they just thrown out then, that sort of generalization – but some generalizations are in existence, right? Mm. So that's where I find it hard to sort of – and everyone's – it's a balancing act to work out, okay, what do you truly believe in? Like, what do you
– it's small language shifts.
Yeah.
If Bree and I are having some form of argument, I'd be more likely to say, I think you're being an asshole right now. Whereas like maybe 15 years ago you'd say you're being a bitch.
Mm.
But the thing is that it feels like it's a no, like it's a lose-lose using that language, because it doesn't have, it straight away shows your unconscious, not unconscious bias, but it shows that you're applying that, whereas everyone can be an asshole.
Mm.
Oh, so that's what I think. I think there's a good shift there going from.
Yeah.
Don't call people assholes anyway, but sometimes people are being assholes. Yeah. That's the other thing, you know, when you're in an argument or something, you're being an asshole versus you are an asshole, I think is different. Don't you think?
Yeah, but I've also had this with my wife and I use that fucking excuse.
No, aren't an asshole, but you're being an asshole now.
Don't be an asshole. Yeah. Don't be a bitch.
Yeah.
No, you're not one.
Yeah.
But I just don't want you to go down that fucking track. I don't want you to regret it. No, but you can't even say that.
Yeah.
I think it's the same weight, even though words have meaning. I think it's like what I said, you're being a girl. Is also not far from don't be a girl.
Mm-hmm.
I think people hear it and they hear the one that's more, the one that I think is worse by the choice of words, but they're still clumped in the same thing. So it doesn't, like, you're not doing yourself a service. So what I'm saying is me saying, you're being a girl is the same as saying the other thing. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think it's right.
There was that whole campaign where it's like, oh, you run like a girl. What does it mean to run like a girl? And they do. Have you seen that? It's good. But then it's hard. Yeah. I don't think, like, I just think it's better not, like, in general, putting those words on either gender, because it feels like
I think there's a lot of people from our generation, maybe Mr. 97's generation. Actually, he's pretty loose. Not saying that about this stuff, but. I've heard you.
I mean, 97, have you been pulled up from anyone of things that you've said that you've worked out, oh, actually, I shouldn't say that?
Yeah, a few times with using the words like retarded.
Uh-huh. You can't say that.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
No.
And that's the thing. What was it? What did it used to be? I mean, this is the thing, young kids, our generation didn't grow up thinking that the word and the meaning of retarded was the actual thing I'm saying that you are. And that's young people. It takes time to learn this shit that's fucking it's not okay.
So do you think that there's then a portion of the population that was previously isolated based on the language?
So what do you mean?
Well, they're people who really who spearheaded, actually, it's not okay. Like 15 years ago when you would like watch films or whatever and they would say retarded, it was sort of, it seemed like it was, or like it was funny because you didn't really connect it.
Yeah.
But maybe part of it is because like now we're so much more connected, we empathize with the people who it does actually impact. So it's always impacted someone.
It always has, exactly.
It's not like it's all of a sudden it's like, oh, a group of people now care about this.
But that's why I don't think we should just crucify somebody, as they say, because a young kid, I think about kids that would say it, right? They're not actually meaning the person that is suffering from a disability. Like, as a kid, I used to say heaps of words that I didn't fucking mean. They literally had no weight within me, but I was still using the word. And so there's an education piece. That's why I don't think you should just – people should just be in trouble in the first instance. It's like the Gronk that keeps saying this shit is the fucking Gronk and has the problem and needs to be, you know, however you deal with this stuff.
But there's something fun about using taboo words as well.
I mean,
like with your mate, like I guess that's the risk, isn't it? Is it's like comedy and all that sort of thing. There's something – is it wrong that there is an internal bond created when you say naughty things?
Of course. That's why I think, right, the person who is getting annoyed at someone like me that says that thing, it's like everyone fucking slips up. Not everyone's in a position where they have their voice recorded every day. And so that is a difference. The podcast between Sam Harris and Ricky Gervais is phenomenal. Two very intelligent people. Sam Harris is the guy that has the meditation app that I use, and they did a 2.5 hour episode. They go into this about Ricky, who's a comedian who makes jokes, and he's looking at the progressive society, and he's a lefty, right? He agrees with a lot of things with the left and says one thing. He jokes about something from the right, and next minute he's a right-wing Nazi. Yeah. And I think he articulates, because he's in a position where he uses a lot of words that have meaning, but he's thought about how he's using them and they still get taken out of context.
Do you think that maybe also the risk of saying like you're being a girl or you're acting like a girl or you're a big girl?
It infers it's a negative connotation,
but,
right?
But also maybe it's like also think about dudes. Mm. Like we did the whole The Line campaign or whatever, which is like to be a guy you have to be a certain way, you have to be aggressive, you have to be... And so that's the other side of it. Not only is it negative towards women or puts them in a position, but it's also setting up the expectation of what we're meant to be but think about also like used to be like Battle of the Sexes. Like think about the amount of shit that there used to be in the mainstream media that there just wouldn't be today.
Most of the shit that we had growing up, the racism that... It's only, you didn't even class it as racism back when you were young.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. It's like...
Well, think about like...
I'm glad that my son won't have that kind of shit. I remember Aboriginal jokes as a kid going around the school. Mm-hmm. Like, fucking, that is inappropriate. You can't. And so I'm glad we've come from a time where we've been able to see, right? We've come from over here and we're going to a place where it is a much more... It's more of an unacceptable thing.
Yeah. So is that then political correctness?
Because I think the people who, when you start talking about politically correct, you start throwing it into a basket of no, but it's actually okay. Yeah. You guys are all just whinging about it. Yeah. So I think there's a whole bunch of shit that can be taken off the table that isn't good. Mm-hmm. And I think then, when that stuff's taken off the table, a few people get upset that they got their thing that they like taken off the table.
Mm. I mean, I wonder whether – you wonder what the future is going to be like.
I know, yeah.
Like at 97, you've got younger siblings. What's the vibe? Do you think it's going to become more sort of like this way, or do you think that – like I think some people will say, oh, it's – we're overcorrecting at the moment, and then it's going to go back. But then,
I don't think it's going to go. I don't think it'll go back. I just think the Ricky Gervais talks about the noise that he hears from his Twitter account is like walking past a bin, and there's a guy in there yelling profanities back at him. He said that's the equivalent of, and he's like, it's a small percentage. So right now, the noise that we hear doesn't speak for everybody, but is very noisy, right? So if someone gets taken down online and shit, it's like you go outside, and that's what Ricky says. He's like, you're in your Twitter and it's fucking crazy. You go outside, it's like no one's actually saying any of this shit. And so I think young people are much more progressive than we were when we were younger.
Because so what does
of
that
the
mean?
Time
what
that we're in.
What does it actually like equal in regards to conversation and living, and what does it actually mean?
Well, I don't think the whole thing is like overcorrecting, because you still got like we've still got like way more to go in terms of rights and equality. But yeah, it's hard. Like I just hope that it continue. Like, because you've got all the noisy people, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like you listen to like some of the guests that Joe Rogan has on, and they're talking about like the 4% of people that are all the vocal ones that are really, really, I guess, progressive. But majority of people, like, I guess it just comes back to empathy and kindness. Like, you mm-hmm. just, you look at all the people that are, like, they're not being recognized for who they are or whatever. And yeah, I don't know. It's,
but is there an all-encompassing value set? Because I guess everyone has different values.
Yeah, exactly.
And but so how do we...
That's. I think that's where the empathy comes in. I don't think your values matter. I think if you just put yourself in their shoes, then you're living through their values. So if you can understand that, then regardless of your values, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. And so but then I guess there's a level of understanding that needs to happen, which... Unless you're part of those, like, I think that what's maybe helped me over the years is listening to stuff that's not people like us talking.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Like, as one way. No.
Think about it. We didn't have the conversation around gay marriage and, and equality. Like, this wasn't a conversation when we were young.
Yeah.
So I wonder about, I never once thought anything about gay people. Like, I've never once thought it's not okay to be gay. It never in my life. Mm-hmm.
But you would have also said that's gay.
100%. It was.
So it's like a detached, your vocabulary was detached from the thing.
Exactly. But then in now, like now young kids that are at that same age, there's the thought of, you know, the conversation around gay marriage and all of these things, which then makes you think more about it. So you then start thinking and having more of an opinion about it, whether that opinion be, I totally support same-sex marriage, you know, which we didn't have that thought because there was no same-sex marriage to support back then. It was not okay, right? And so it wasn't even a conversation. So I think it's a good thing that young people are being exposed to these things, because then it makes them think and then makes them start to see, what do we want? I don't feel like when I was young – I had a say in what we wanted. Did you feel that?
It feels like your opinion was based on the older people around you.
Exactly.
Because that's all you had. So it's like, you would see something and then there'd be, you'd hear your parents or whoever it was talking about that thing. And then you're like, that's the way that it is.
Mm.
But then I guess nowadays it's not like you just have, you're not just watching Home Improvement and like TV, but you can like go online and follow people on Instagram who are really progressive, who are bringing up these issues that young people are then, you know, consuming.
Mm.
I guess part of it is it's like, which is a privileged position to be in, but it's like, how do you not like stress about, like, how do you just like, as everyone just chill, how do you be empathetic and all that sort of thing? But also just chill the fuck out where it doesn't sort of drop. Like, it feels like for a lot of people, especially if you're in a minority, it is all consuming. Like, you'll listen to, you know, I listen to African-American people and having a podcast, and every conversation's around color. And it's like, it doesn't even feel like we don't even think of it necessarily as an issue, but then it's because they're living this day-to-day thing.
Yeah. Well, I think podcasts and, you know, the internet has given us access to people's internal dialogue.
Yeah.
And so.
But even Charlemagne the God, I was listening to his audiobook and he was talking about how all of those things, those narratives, ended up being a disservice because he was always quick to say, like, position it of like, everyone's out to get me. I'm the minority. Which, it's hard. We're not in the position to really give any interesting insights into it. But I just think it's interesting.
That's how I was feeling yesterday.
That's good. How are you going 3D, Jill?
I'm good. Just on, just touching back on that. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of people talking about it mm-hmm. and a lot of people bringing it up, but I don't think everyone's necessarily listening and understanding, right? Because you can talk and I can listen to you, but if I don't understand what you're saying, I'm not going to retain it and I'm not going to do anything with it, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not taking any action about it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what a lot of, not to say that everybody is, but I think a lot of people are doing is they see it on Instagram and stuff and all this stuff about color and gender and everything that's going on. Everyone's seeing it. They're reading about it, but they don't understand what it means to them and how it impacts their life. Right. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems, working out what the actionable bits are, I think is the interesting bit.
I think also you're saying a year ago we had a conversation about whatever. Actually having conversations out loud with people is, for what I believe, one of the only ways to start really solidifying your thinking and questioning how you might respond to something. So you might actually say the wrong thing, but it's only because of an existence that you've had up until this point where it's just a reaction, like the girl thing is like, yeah, you know, there's campaigns against people saying that shit. The people who are saying that shit have probably grown up saying that shit, and so it's time for a change. And that's where starting to talk about these things with people.
Well, it's almost your older self. Like, I think the funny thing is, in those moments where when you said that, I was thinking like, it's in alignment with you 5 years ago or whatever, but it doesn't fit. Like, it's the your vocabulary or the way of speaking is catching up with your point of your worldview.
Yeah.
And don't you think?
Yeah, 100%. And where you are today versus 10 years. So if someone listens to this conversation in 10 years' time.
It seems so primitive.
Yeah, 100%, because you're not actually where, if you're the same person 10 years forward, Ricky Gervais, I think, said, you're a shitty bloke.
Yeah.
You're a shitty person. You're a shitty girl, whatever. Yeah. You're a shitty person. And that's so true, because there should be some growth. There should be some level of growth. If you're stuck in your ways as a person, nah, I'll fucking use the, I'll say gay. It's like, that's, come on, dude. Maybe just have a think about it a little bit more. But that's why talking it through. But if you're around a bunch of people who do the same shit, you're probably just
it's
like,
that echo chamber or whatever.
I think I'm definitely more progressive from hanging around with you.
Well, do you think that, like, if you think about the feminism stuff, like I'm trying to remember that. I remember it felt heated.
Yeah, but it's also, like, I think you asked me if I'm a feminist and I said, why do I have to answer that? I like, equality for women, fucking oath. Like, all these things. So, yes, I have all the traits of a feminist.
So that was my point, but the bit that you should be completely comfortable with, which I think you are now, is saying I'm a feminist. Like, it doesn't, like, it's not a trick question. Like, I think people are assuming this is some fucking big trick question where it's like.
But I think it's even changed since we've spoken about it. I think that noise around people who are shitty feminists and making all the feminists who just want equality for women, making them look bad. Because there has been a time that's happened, right? And so I think most people are most people should be feminists. Yeah. And if
what
you're
do
not,
you mean by the shitty feminists?
People who have given a bad rap where it's an attack on men or there's been, you know, men are the enemy style. Because a feminist, I look at my wife and she's gone from having those feelings and that anger towards men to having a complete shift where she's still a feminist. But she doesn't have those feelings anymore.
Yeah.
And so it's the case if you can't lump all feminists in with the feminists that are taking it a bit far and abusing men.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
So there's multiple, you know, facets of that.
What do you think about, like, having a podcast, having a, you know, a daily talk show? I was talking to Mr. 97 about it. He's like, could we be talking more about news? Could we be talking more about things that are happening out and about?
Depends where you get news from.
Well, he only goes to the Verge, so it'll be all very
tech heavy.
Tech heavy.
Yeah.
But I mean, what's the what's our responsibility? What do we want to be talking about? Like, just in general.
I mean, these conversations, this is shit I think about in my head a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there was a, I think it'd be a problem if I never thought about this stuff and I would maybe say it's probably something try and explore, but it's not easy to explore this stuff. I think there's a weight that comes with talking about this because you're trying to choose your words to not be fucking caught out or like, or just.
Or also saying something, not articulating how you actually feel, I guess.
Which is why then people can say, I gotcha.
Yeah.
But they haven't got us. Yeah. I feel like I'm a good person.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm all those things. And so I like having fun. I like talking about fun stuff. I like talking about stories. I like having experiences, revving you guys up a bit.
You did, talking about fun, you did a Insta story last night of a car that was covered in stickers.
Bizarre.
What's the deal?
It was just pulling up alongside and I was like, what the fuck is this? Stickers all over this thing. And on it said.
Did they look homemade? Like what were
they? Oh, dude, they were like if we just got a bunch of little stickers that had like big media company, our address, you know, the Daily Talk Show, the website, and then they stick
it's
them
almost
all
like
over the car.
Stickers that you would see on an envelope.
They're labels. They're literally labeled, like labels that you'd put on something. So if you lose it.
They do have a menu log sticker as well.
Yeah. And so I thought, but then I read the actual, so they've used the stickers to make it say something. Mm-hmm. And so it's come or no come. 03 953 488 33 call me baby. And Amy and I were like.
Absolutely not.
What is that? Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at the driver, this dude, I'm just like, is this a brothel? Are you working? What is this?
I don't know if there's any brothels on menu log.
Well, I didn't know if the menu log meant anything. Yeah, sure. I thought it was a shitty car. I was like, surely you can't
menu
drive
log,
one of these.
Yeah, menu log feels like it's one of those stickers. There's certain stickers that just stay on buildings. It will go through six different restaurants, but the menu log sticker will always stay.
So I ended up posting it on the Daily Talk Show's Insta.
So you Googled it?
Yeah. Well, I didn't. I thought someone else would, and someone else did.
B-Mac. No, it wasn't me.
Shades.
Hi, B-Mac.
Shade sent it through, our number one hype man. And it's Ma Hong Restaurant. It's a Chinese dim sum and Cantonese fare. So they're just doing deliveries on.
There's a lot of work that's gone into that sticker thing.
Maybe they were like, sex sells?
So do you think that's what they were going for?
I don't know. It's like, come or no come. It's like, call me baby.
Yeah, call me baby.
It's sort of complete sexual connotation.
Yeah. I get that.
Anyway, it's just a Chinese restaurant trying to hustle.
We update the homepage of the dailytalkshow.com every few days.
Yeah.
So you can go see what we're doing there. If you are listening this far, do an Insta story, just screen grab your podcast app or take a photo. Like I like the ones where people have taken a photo. Russ Keys loves a gym photo where he's at the gym and takes a photo of the video, which is cool.
Oh, that's a good idea. So you can see where you're at listening to it.
We're hitting episode 400 on Sunday, which is good.
Yeah.
So excited for that. But also many guests from after episode 400, you'll start to see, is flurry a word?
Mick Flurry.
A flurry?
F-L-U-R-R-Y, yes.
A flurry of guests.
Put an MC at the front.
A McFlurry of guests. No, we're going to have a flurry of guests starting episode 400.
Another thing I'm pissed off about.
What?
McFlurry's back in the day. They had a machine that they would put the actual spoon up into.
Yes.
And then they would hold it up and it'd go.
Now it's like a mixer.
Now they just like dump it on and leave. It's just like.
But you can just mix it yourself.
Yeah, I know, but pre-mix was so good.
Can you still get pre-mix alcohol? Yes.
Yeah. What's that got to do with?
Yes. Well, no, just talking pre-mix. Did they tax it higher or something?
Where?
In Australia.
Recently?
You're
speaking to a guy who doesn't drink.
I just feel like
it's expensive. In Australia, it's very premixed.
I remember doing a school debate.
What about?
On premixed drinks.
Should you tax them?
Yeah. It was something about like should young people, I think they wanted to set it up so they're like, should it be an older age to have access to premixed drinks? Which is a little bit confusing
because then you can get hard liquor at a young age.
Yeah, you got to mix it yourself.
In America, they don't do as many pre-drinks as us.
Really? Premix.
Premix.
Or pre-drinks.
Sorry, did I say pre-drinks?
Pre-drinks.
They don't do pre-mix like what we do. We have the like all the bourbons in cans and shit. They've just, the liquor's so cheap. It's like $15 for a huge bottle of bourbon.
I do understand pre-drinks a lot more as I get older.
Why?
Well, I never sort of understood. It sounds fucking boring, but part of it is the price. And so they're trying to get tipsy beforehand. Plus,
you've actually gone backwards. As you get older, less people are doing pre-drinks.
Oh, really?
It's a young thing because young people are tired asses. So I used to do pre-drinks at my house all the time, and my mate would bring around bourbons and we'd all get pissed before we go to the bar because we were too tired ass to spend.
But do you think it's also like people being socially awkward? They try and have a drink beforehand.
Nah,
that's not a thing.
Sure. When you're getting dressed and stuff, I've been smashing a few, but I just like getting a bit how you going before.
That's a there are pre-drinks though, aren't they?
Yeah, but you're saying I understand pre-drinks but that was a mindset of the young kids drinking heaps before they go out because then they don't want to.
It's not a thing anymore.
I'm sure it's a thing.
It's 100% a thing. I'm in college. I'm telling you.
But what about I guess what we're not sure about is older people.
I mean, older people we've got less time. Look, I'll meet you at the bar, right? Fuck, I got to sort out the kids and, you know.
And what you're saying is while they're putting their pants on and stuff, they're having a...
Yeah, maybe one in the shower, a little beer.
Have you really done that?
The pre-drink culture, in my experience, was when I was young.
Okay.
16, 17, 18, 19, 20.
The older people aren't doing pre-drinks.
You're just meeting at the bar. You're just going out for dinner. Mm. I mean, you think it makes sense that people have more money as they're a bit older.
Which for me sounds like more pre-drinks, but what you're saying is no pre-drinks.
It's not the pre-drinks like it used to be.
Okay.
I can show you photos of the pre-drinks that we used to have.
It's a Daily Talk Show. Hi at thedailytalkshow.com. Are you a pre-drinker? I think Gemma Watts is a pre...
I'm not saying no one does it.
Pre-drinker, production drinker, and post-production drinker. all three. But otherwise, we'll see you tomorrow, guys.
See you soon.